Okay, so basically we're just sort of to review a little bit and then to move on. So we're on Laman Beis Haman Aleph, in case you're interested. But the basic thing is that in the Shun, how's it go? In Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, so you have these three unique brachas. Malchus, Chonos, and Shofros. Malchus is about God as the king, so Chonos is God taking not notice of man, and Shofros of God's revelation, revealing himself to man. Something to that effect, okay? And for each of them, basically, you the way the bracha proceeds is you talk about the theme, then you cite psukim, 10 psukim, which somehow support or discuss the theme, use the word malach, use the word zikar, use the word shofar, and then you basically have a tefillah, okay? A tefillah which is based upon that theme. Okay, requesting that God will express his malchios, or that God will remember the bris, or that God will listen to the trua, the Kol Yisrael, whatever. Okay, so how many psukim do you really need? So it's machlokas, for our purposes, for oversimplification, there's machlokas of 10 versus 9. 10 psukim or 9 psukim? Okay. So why would you need 10 psukim? Why would you need 9 psukim? So we said, for starters, why do you need psukim altogether? Why are you listening to tons of psukim in the middle of davening? You're davening, you're not doing psukim. What's the point of mentioning psukim? You're not learning. You're davening. You don't usually list the whole list of a series of psukim in like Kriyas Torah. I understand you read psukim, but what are you doing psukim in davening for? Sometimes you can cite one pasuk to back up your idea or whatever, but just a list of 10 psukim that use the word melech, I mean, for what? So we said is that here you're requesting abstract goals, abstract ideals. You're requesting not health and wealth and knowledge and, you know, money. You know, you're requesting like idealized goals. God should express his malchus, that God should be zocheras and the kol shemei kol shofar. So the idea is that before you're ready to make these requests, you have to understand what these ideas are. You have to at least have an understanding of what you're talking about. So the Chazal did is they instituted psukim, Talmud Torah, about these themes as an intro to make the request. So that it puts you in a state of mind where your mind is focused on the ideas about these themes, and then in that context you make the request. Okay, so it really is Talmud Torah. You're doing psukim, reading psukim is Talmud Torah. And we said it's Talmud Torah has Torah and Yom Suv, and there are different chalakim, different components of Tanakh, of Torah Shevachsav. So you want to have a limud in each of the components, they have a different flavor to them. And within each of them, if you want to learn about a word, let's say, or about a concept, you take different psukim which cite it, and thereby get a picture of how the word is used and what idea is being conveyed by them. What does malchus mean in the Torah? What does malchus mean in Nach? What does it mean in Ksuvim? So the idea is that's why you have three from Torah, three from Vim, three from Ksuvim, is as that's the way you learn about the theme of Malchios, and thereby prepares you to be mispalel, to make a request of Malchios, and the same for Zechonos and the same for Shofros. Okay, that's the idea of 9. Why 9? The Shita of 9. Okay, so far so good? Okay. The 10th pasuk we said is that he says that instead of just the role, see, according to this way we're looking at it, the 9 is really just functioning to prepare you. Okay, it's to prepare you. It's merely a preparatory stage, prepares the person for the bakasha, for the tefillah. Okay, but see what the other position holds, and this way we hold that you do 10, is that even though the thing is here to prepare you, but halachically, the psukim are introduced as an involvement in Talmud Torah, as an entity of Talmud Torah. It's the purpose is to prepare you. But now, what do? You involve yourself in a unit of Talmud Torah, and the basic unit of Talmud Torah is 10 psukim, as we see, for instance, by Kriyas HaTorah. Also, the unit, the minimum of Tzkavus Kriyas HaTorah of laning is 10 psukim, and then the sources of the numbers is learned out from various places in the Gemara. But the idea is like the basic unit. A unit is 10. So even though the reason why you're doing it is to prepare you, and that would suffice with 9, but the way in which you prepare yourself is, according to the way we hold, is via an entity, a unit of Talmud Torah. And a unit of Talmud Torah, you cap it off with the 10th pasuk. You know what I mean? And that's the machlokas, is that the purpose here is not to be involved in a unit of Talmud Torah. The purpose is to prepare you for this tefillah, which only demands 9. But do you argue the way you prepare yourself is by halachically by invoking the unit of Talmud Torah, and therefore it's going to be 10. Okay, so that's machlokes. That's how we define 10 or 9. Okay? It turns out the Gemara rejects 9 and says there's no real shita of 9. There's a havi. The havi of that is a shita of 9. Could be because, you know, this far was compelling, that it will use the halachic entity. But I'm just saying, I'm talking about it because the Gemara thought it was machlokes, so I'm just going with that. Okay? Okay, now what I wanted to tell you is the Rav had a different way of learning that 10th pasuk. Okay? And it has its own difficulties, I think, but it's interesting also. And it's interesting, and also I think it will help us to get a little bit, get into the tefillos a little bit. And what he basically said, his idea, again, I'm knowing this like second hand or third hand. Rabbi Shimon told me he saw it in Harei Kedem, and Harei Kedem is where Shrekin heard from the Rav. So I'm just saying the idea as I see it, but, you know, no guarantee this is exactly the way the Rav said it, but, you know, this is, I think it's a good idea, so this is the way I see it. Okay. So what he says basically is like this, is that if you, the ordinary pattern of the way the Ten Pesukim work, okay, and this is, maybe you could get up, maybe you got to get open the sitter. So if you have the sitter, it's on page 323. Oh, yeah, let's skip that one for a second. Yeah, let's see on page 324. Let's look at Zichronos. Okay, so page 324 is Zichronos. This is an art scroll, I don't know, the whatever they call it. It's art scroll something version of the sitter. You know, whoever it is. But the standard English, only Hebrew art scrolls there. 324. So, Ata Zocher Maase Olam. Okay. So it means you remember the actions of the world. It goes on. Okay. And then what it does is it starts quoting Pesukim. So the Pesukim start. The Agam. Let's count the Pesukim, okay? So now it's Vigam is Noach. You see him jumping down a little bit? Is the Noach is the last word on our line? The Gam is Noach ve'Ava Zacharta. You remembered Noach, but if Kedar with Dvar Yishuv Rachamim ba'Aviyachas mehamabul Hashachet Kol Basar ne'Rom Alayim. So you brought the water as the marble, and that was the Zichron. So Kedar Zichron ba'Aviyachas. Not fine. It says like Cholayim. Karkosav Besor Sacha. Okay, this is a pasuk which is supporting that God remembered Noach. Yisrael Kim is Noach. That's the Chayos Kol Behem Hashreitu Batovel Kim Roach La'atz Veshuv Amayim. That's one pasuk of Zichronos from the Torah, right? V'ne'amar v'yishmael kimis nakasam v'yizkor l'kimis briso asam v'yizkor l'kimis Yaakov. That's by Klal Yisrael by Mitzrayim. The second pasuk from the Torah, Zichronos. Right? V'yizkor. God remembered Klal Yisrael. V'ne'amar v'zecharti es brisi Yaakov afes brisi Yisrael v'yizkor v'yizkor v'yizkor. That's the third pasuk of Zichronos from the Torah. Okay? Okay. Fine. Now it does ksuvim. Derek Kachka is ksuvim, which is Tehillim. Okay, there's a subtle problem in this, but let's just gloss over it. Zeich Asim Fosav Chan Racham Hashem. Vinema Tavnosim Revius Kalom Briso. Vinema Reis Kalom Briso. Vinachim Kroch Chazadav. So there's three psukim in ksuvim. Okay. Well, I did Mechim Kosav Lemar, now in a VM. Hello, Kosav Nezio Kosav Zacharti Lach Hasim Reich Havaskos Seich. Vinema Vizacharti in his Brisi Yaakov, right? So it's three in a VM. So how many Pesukim do you have so far?
Nine.
Right? Three. Now we're ready on the Tefillah. Zachrinu to Olfanacha. Remember us. And remember the Bris. Zachasin, the Shvosh, the Shvosh, then it says, now be accomplished for us, be came through us, the shvua that you promised the avos through Moshe Rabbeinu, more. It's a charti lamb verse we showed Moshe. It says, "Yosam Yosef Shraim." And now going, "Yosel Kim Ani Hashem." So there's the tenth pasuk. The tenth pasuk is in the bakasha itself. Okay, it's in the Vakasha itself. The tenth pasuk is not—it's not the same style. The format of the other ones is as the pasuk says this, as the pasuk says this, as the pasuk says this, as the pasuk says this. 3, 3, 3, 9. The tenth pasuk is in the Vakasha itself. Okay, it's part of the Vakasha. Okay, the same thing happens in what's it called in Shofros. Okay, and shofros. Okay. The last pasuk is also woven into it. In Malchus, it isn't quite done that way. Fine. I'll leave off. There's an interesting thing with the Rav had in Malchus. Why it was also, he said basically, yeah, I'll just say it quickly, but if you look in Malchus, this is on page 323, so it has your list of psukim. Okay. Well, you down me from Kasav Lamar. So right did the three from the Torah and the three from the... Yeah. So what happens is it has the Thipsukim, Ha'idimri and Kasav Lamar, and then so at the end, the 10th Pasuk is the source of Kasav Lamar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Ken, Hashem Echad. Okay? Which is somehow Malchus. Okay? Even though it doesn't say the word Malach. That's a whole different topic, but that's the Pasuk of Malchus. And then it says Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and in the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, it doesn't have Malach. It doesn't have a 10th Pasuk. The 10th Pasuk is there. So the Rav said that the Shema Yisrael should be joined together as the beginning of the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Okay, and what he said is, you know how you do like the singing, la 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 la, you know? So you do that like after the Pesukim, before the, you know, before the Bakasha. So what the Rav said is that since that 10th Pasuk should really be part of the Bakasha, so you should do that singing before that Pasuk. You know what I mean? As normally the way you would do it is at the end of the psukim, before, it's like in between segments, you know? So you do it like in the article, at the end of the paragraph, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, and then everyone sings. So the Rav said, sing before you do that. Sing your lalalalalais, and then join together, the Shema Yisrael, together with the Bakasha. Because he held that the 10th Pasuk is joined together with the Bakasha. And we do that. I mean, if you pay attention in Yeshiva, in Rosh Hashanah, you'll see we do that. The point is like this. I mean, it's a little bit technical here. The point is that the Rav learned that what's the 10th Pasuk for? He says, because the whole idea of this Pesukim is like, at least, I think this is the way I'm understanding it, is it's like a precursor to your Bakasha. Okay, that's the Pesukim are for. So the 10th Pasuk serves like as a bridge. It unites the 9 Pesukim to the Bakasha. Because the 9 Pesukim are there, the Pesukim are there as an intro to the Bakasha. Okay? So what you do is, so the way in which that's manifest in the Tefillah is that you have 9 Pesukim, and then you have a 10th Pasuk, which is in the Bakasha itself. So it's like that 10th Pasuk is part of the 9, but it's also part of the Bakasha. And that does is it creates a bridge between the unit of the Pesukim and the Bakasha, and it renders the Pesukim as an intro to the Bakasha. It's not just Talmud Torah, but the Pesukim are an intro to the Bakasha. You follow me? If you're with me, so the question is, could we define the Machlokas? Because if you buy that that's the idea of the 10th Pasuk, it's a different idea than we're saying. We were learning the 10th Pasuk is the only unit of Talmud Torah. He's learning, no, the 10th Pasuk is merely functioning to manifest and to be mitzarev, to join the Pesukim to the Bakasha. Because that's the whole idea of the Pesukim is an intro to the Bakasha. So it's weaving it in. Okay, it's weaving it in. So if that's the case, I ask you, what's this other side who says 9? And what would be that machlokas if you buy that? Okay, I just want to disclaim here. I may be taking liberties in the Rav, in the way the Rav was learning. I don't know if this is exactly how he's learning. I didn't see him, and I got the impression he's learning a little different. I mean, I'm taking a little bit of what he said and ripping it off and using it, you know. So, you know, I'm giving him credit because I didn't think of it. At the same time, it's a good chance he wouldn't say exactly this. This is a problem with the way the Rav's saying, and why we didn't say this way. But, you know, the Rav could answer it. You know, but is that the Gemara wants to know, how do you know 10? And it learns it out, oh, because there are 10 Halalukas, and we're in the parak of, Halukah, in the last parak of Tehillim. Or there are Seres Adibros. Or there are 10 words, Vayomer and Bereshus. Whatever. There's different things which are 10. According to the Rav, it has nothing to do with 10. It's really just an idea that you want an additional one in order to link it together. It's not a unit. See, 10, that's what we took it as 10 as a unit, as an entity of 10. And that's what you learn out there, 10 of these, 10 of those. What does 10 correspond to? So it pointed to us to the idea that 10 is really an idea of a unit. And that's like Kriyas HaTorah. It's a unit. Kriyas HaTorah is not an idea of a tenth pasuk to join anything together. It's a unit. Ten is like around is a number which is, creates a unit, and it corresponds to these things. According to the this new way of learning, that the tenth is not really ten; it's really nine plus a mitzarif, and ten is almost just like an accident. You know. So look, the Rav could learn like it's just whatever. It's not daf. It's an asmachta. It's whatever. You know. It's not. It's just like we said it's a unit because it would seem to be that the Gemara is learning that there's 10 corresponding. Can I get me? And asked what's the 10 corresponding to? And it has these different, you know, those different things in the Gemara. So that's why we went that way. But there's, you know, there's something nice about this other way also, the way the Rav is saying. But the question is, could we get the Mahalakas? So maybe as Yonah, just to clarify this thought, is that there's two ways you could have it. You know, you want to have a tziruf, a link between the psukim and the bakasha, because that's, although you can't just throw in psukim in the middle of davening. The whole point is that the psukim have to be there in service. They're in service of the bakasha. Okay, so the question is, so they have to be like merge with the bakasha. The question is, how so? Is it sufficient to do that through like smichas, through putting them back to back, juxtaposing them one after the other? Or do you have to actually make it like manifestation in the very text that they really join together? You know what I mean? Is it sufficient by the proximity that you put in the nine psukim and then you go to the bakasha and that creates the link? Or do you have to make the tziruf more concrete, more manifest? That you need a real mitzarif. It's not sufficient just to put them next to each other, but it demands a real mitzarif, which is that tenth pasuk, which is in the... you know, woven into the bakasha. You know what I mean? So that would have been the question. That's what you could argue. Look, you don't need a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah because it's right behind it. It's next to it. That's what you're doing. You're doing it in the middle of the tefillah. You're doing the psukkah, and then you're doing the bakasha. So one after the other, they're linked. It's an intro. But where we hold that no, that according to this why is that no, that the it's not sufficient just to put them next to each other, but it has to exhibit the nature of the connection. Has to be manifest through the tefillah itself. So the way you do that is you have a list of psukim, then you go into the bakasha, and then you throw in that last pasuk, and thereby it bridges the two together. Let's look to different topic, but related. Okay? But if you're, you know, just coming in, it says, the Mishnah Lam Beis Manav. Okay. It says, Seder Brachos. Okay, so what's a Seder Brachos on Yom Rosh Hashanah? Omer Avos Gvuros Ukdishas Hashem. Okay, the first three brachos. As always, the kolo malchios imahem. Okay, now get this. You put malchios into the kedushas Hashem. Kedushas Hashem is hakel hakadosh, hamalach hakadosh. You put malchios into the third bracha, into the kel hamalach hakadosh. Ve'ino tokeya. That's your third bracha according to this position. We don't hold like this. Okay, we do malchios as a fourth bracha. Right, we just do Kedushas Hashem as a separate Malchus Kadosh, and then you begin Malchus and Shofros. He's learning, really, he says, you know, the third bracha, which is Kedushas Hashem, you shove Malchus into there. Okay, you shove the Malchus into there. Then Kedushas Hayom, it's okay. Yeah. Then you just have a bracha for Kedushas Hayom, which is expressing the theme of the Yom, like on every, but like it always. You just have the bracha like Kedushas Hayom, and you blow shofar on that one, and that's the fourth bracha. Zichronos v'tokeya, fifth bracha zichronos, and you blow shofar. Shofar's v'tokeya, and then you do shofar's and you blow. V'om ravodah v'dal, brachas kohanim, and then you have the last three brachas. The Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri has the malchios he shoves into the third bracha, which is the Kedushas Hashem, which is about God's uniqueness, God's Kedusha. He throws malchios into there, and then the fourth bracha is really just Kedushas Hashem, about the nature of the day. Okay? Then Rabbi Amalur Rabbi Akiva, Imeino Tokeila Malchios, Lama Humaskir. This question is not clear. It says, if you're not blowing for Malchios, why are you even mentioning the Malchios? If you're not putting the Malchios together where you're blowing shofar, because you're blowing shofar on the fourth bracha, why mention Malchios in the first place? Funny question, but I'll leave the question alone for a second. Rather, Ella Omer Avos Gavos Kedushas Hashem, they call them Malchios and Kedushas Hayom. This is what we do. Malchios is the fourth bracha together with the Kedushas Hayom. V'tokeya, and you blow on that. Zichronos v'tokeya, shofar v'tokeya. Okay? Fine. So if you look, that's the way we have it. Yeah, the fourth bracha that we have is basically Atta Bachartanu. Like we start in every Yom Tov. Like there's a Yom. Atta Bachartanu, you chose us, v'titin lanu, be'avas, yom azikaron, like a normal Yom Tov. V'mnechatayinu, and the basuf, whatever, right? And then we go into Alkin HaKav HaLachan, and we put Malchios. And in the chasima of that bracha, the end of that bracha, it ends, Elokim HaSinu, Malocha Kolom Kul V'chotecha, which is about Malchios. But then we end up, Katshenu Mitzasecha, Senkin Zor Secha, like an every Yom Tov. Right? Makadesh Yisrael, right? Melech HaKal Oretz, Makadesh Yom HaZikaron. So it's like a weave, the fourth bracha, the way we have it is a weave of the Kedushas Hayom, like we always have on every Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah included in all the tefillos, and Malchios. Okay? Malchios is the fourth bracha together with Kedushas Hayom, Zichronos is the fifth, and Shofar is the sixth. Again, the way that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had it, his fourth bracha was the normal Kedushas Hayom bracha, no Malchios. Malchios, the psukim of Malchios, were really shoved into Kedushas Hashem, which goes into the third bracha, which is about God, basically psukim about God, and the bracha about God and God's Kedusha and all that. Okay, why would he do that?
Why would you think he would do that?
Simplify. The third bracha is definitely talking about the Kedusha of Hashem. It's about the Kedusha, the sanctity of God's name, whatever, right? Malchut Kadosh. The fourth bracha definitely is about Kedusha Sayom, about Rosh Hashanah. The question is, which of those two is Malchios doubled up with? Does Malchios double up with Kedusha Hashem, about, right? Or does Malchios double up with the Kedusha Sayom? Okay, definitely the fifth is the Chronos, the sixth is Shofros, and then the seventh, eighth, ninth, the normal last three Rachas in Shemona Esrei. The question is just regarding with Malchios. Is the Malchios shoved into number three, the Kedusha Hashem, or does it go into number four, which is the Kedusha Hashem? Okay? That's a good question. Why is it really shoved anywhere? Why not just have 10 Rachas? Okay, maybe we'll be able to answer that at some point. Okay, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the... I'm simplifying it that's a way to remember the facts or to present the facts. I'm not necessarily saying the question is everyone's agreeing that it has to be shoved somewhere. Where is it shoved? It could be that's not the question.
It's kind of the facts thing.
Yes, it's a good way to summarize the facts, but it's not necessarily what the question is. Maybe it is. Let's see. We have to see. So I'm just asking you for an argument. Why would it be one way? Why would it be another way? Let's get the ball rolling. So I was saying, I'll elaborate a little bit, but it's like, the first three brachos are not Rosh Hashanah brachos.
It's every
tefillah, Shabbos, Yontov, Chol, whatever. The first three and the last three are basically the fixed.
Get into Rosh Hashanah, all right.
Yeah, then you do your Rosh Hashanah stuff. So now what's Malchus is one of the Rosh Hashanah things, right? So where does it belong? You're introducing Malchus on the Shofros. Now, we're doing Malchus Shofros, you got to do the Kedushas Hayom, like an Aniyantif, so somehow you'll put Kedushas Hayom into there. But what's Malchus doing in Kedushas Hashem? Kedushas Hashem is the normal of everything. Yeah, why would you say that? Exactly. It's not only Halamim, Rabbi Yochanan actually holds it. But that's what I think, that's exactly what I said. Plain shot is, what we do is you have your normal, so to speak, like your frame of every single tefillah. Every single tefillah is the frame. Is we have the first three brachos, you have the last three brachos, then you got this middle thing which is negotiable. During the week, we request our basic needs. On a yontif, we talk about the Kedushas Hayom. On Rosh Hashanah, we not only talk about the Kedushas Hayom, we shove into the Kedushas Hayom these expanded themes of Malchus and Shofros. So we have Malchus and Shofros, three brachos, Malchus and Shofros, and now for some reason the Kedushas Hayom gets put into there. In fact, there's a further machlokus which we're not going to take off, is Malchus and Shofros are 4, 5, 6. Where does the Kedushas Hayom go? Does the Kedushas Hayom go in 4 or does the Kedushas Hayom go in 5? Does the Kedushas Hayom go together with Malchios or does the Kedushas Hayom go together with Zichronos? That's like almost a different way. You know, that's why there's another way to look at it.
Defining the Devar Shani.
Yeah, exactly. And it's where do you put normally? Because basically, it's a funny way to look at it, but the way it says normally, one argument is, look, normally where does the Kedushas Hayom go? In the fourth bracha. So put it in the fourth. The other side says, no, where does normally Kedushas Hayom go? In the middle bracha. So the middle one here happens to be the fifth. That's what Gemara says. It's like a fun, you know?
Yeah, right.
But whatever it is, the point is what Elio was saying is exactly right, is that what's it doing in the Kedushas Hashem? Kedushas Hashem? Kedushas Hashem is the normal three brachos like you always have, and you have the first three, you have last three. The middle is all the special Rosh Hashanah stuff. So Malchios, Shofros, and Shofros. So when do you think those three are There's a parallel. There's a unit. And the Gemara, it says, Imru l'fanai, on Rosh Hashanah, it says, Imru l'fanai Rosh Hashanah machiyos, say before me, machiyos shetam l'chuni aleichem, that you should express God's kingship over us, over you. L'zichronos, you should say, Zichronos, shetala zichronechem, shayishol v'yishol shmayim. They should have a good zikaron. U'bameh b'shofar, and through the vehicle of shofar. So there's a unit. Malchus and shofar are a unit. To say that you're going to just shove Malchios in with Kedushas Hashem, which is the normal, standard, everyday bracha, and now just break up, and you have Zichronos and Shofros, and then you just, you know, just the whole thing is, it seems ugly. Seems like the normal pattern should be, you have your first three untouched, your last three untouched, and your middle three is the special Rosh Hashanah stuff. So it seemed difficult to understand Shita Rabbi Yochanan Menuri of what's he doing. Why are you putting Malchios into the third bracha? What we've done here is, instead of having a machlokas in our heart, we have a question. We said one side is clear, and now we have a direct question. What's the sense of Riyach and Anuri? I mean, it's just methodologically, it's a way to approach a machlokas, which, you know, is, so it's easier to just think about a focused problem as opposed to just what are they arguing about, you know? So this is a question. Riyach and Anuri seems strange. Sounds like even a Havamina. So strange that we want to render it a Havamina. if only for a Havamina, maybe we'd be able to deal with it better. But it's a real, real, real hell this way. So that's our question now. What's the sense? Why would Rabbi Yochanan do such a thing? Why put it into the Yiddish Lashon?
Yeah, okay, good.
Good. So Eliyahu makes a good point. Is that thematically, forget about the fact that Rosh Hashanah, the normal way we do things, let's forget about normal. Okay, that's why do we have to go with normal? Let's just talk about the ideas, the themes. So the theme of Kedushas Hashem is expressing God's uniqueness, God's separateness from everything else which exists. And in fact, during the Seder Teshuvah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say Kel HaKadosh, say HaMelech HaKadosh, right? That his uniqueness is expressed at this time through Melech, because he's the Melech over the whole world. That's part of his Kedushas Hashem, his uniqueness. He's the Melech. Everything else is his servants under him, dependent on him, and he's the Melech, right? So therefore, in the bracha, how could we pass up? We're talking about Kedushas Hashem, the uniqueness, the greatness, the grand separateness of God. So now it's a perfect place to put Malchios. Right? So that's the idea of Melech. The idea of the Melech Olam. He's distinct. He's above. He transcends over the whole world. He's the king. Right? So it's like, in content, it belongs there. Mm-hmm. The idea of Malchios. So therefore you put it there. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a decent argument. Okay, now we're ready to define the Malchokas. Okay, because now what we've done is basically we had a good solid argument for the first position. Right? After all, middle three. Stick with the normal stuff, middle three of the Rosh Hashanah stuff. Then we showed, formulated a question on the first, right, on Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. But now we have a good answer on Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Contextually, the content of the thing, really, Malchios does belong in that bracha, in Kedushas Hashem. It weaves in perfectly. It's very much in line with the theme. So now we have to do is try to see what are they arguing about. And now you have good arguments on both sides. So, like, what does it come down to? Eliyahu is another good question. Is that if really it belongs in Kedushas Hashem, because after all, that's the highest idea of God, right? So then every time you say Kedushas, every time, all year round, you should say Malchios there, right?
It has to be Din of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, but not only that, so you'll say it was only Rosh Hashanah. But then what about Shacharis? What about Mincha? What about Ma'ariv? You don't do Malchios there either. So if you're going to tell me, even if you want to say it's only on Rosh Hashanah, you don't just say that you do Kedushas Hashem, you say Malchios Kadosh on Rosh Hashanah, but you don't do Malchios. So you see, what's Malchios? Malchios is because there's this new tefillah where we're doing Malchios on Shofros. We're not just, you don't just say on Rosh Hashanah the way we do, whenever we talk about God, we have to start going in Temsuk and start listening about all the Sikha Malchios. Not true. You don't do a Shachos on Chamayrev. You're just doing a Musaf and the new Musaf, which has Malchios on Shofros. So it's coming because of Malchios on Shofros. So it's not so simple just to say, hey, after all, it belongs because that's the way we talk about God. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Before we proceed further, I just want to mention something. This is Rabbi Shimon noticed this point. And I think it seems to me like it's an important fact to discuss before we could even proceed. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, so where are you doing Malchios with Kedushas Hashem, right? And we don't have a sitter, which is unfortunate. We don't know how he would die, how exactly he would do it. But what's the fourth bracha? The fourth bracha is Kedushas Eyal. Right? This is Eyal. So what would it look like? Presumably it would look like the Kedushas Eyal and Shachar and Mincha Ma'ariv, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what else would it look like? Kedushas Eyal, right? It wouldn't be souped up, right, to add in the whole, right? Now, what is the rebaka? What is the request on the other tefillos? The bakasha. Okay, the basic bakasha at the end, right? Because after Bechatan or the Titan or whatever, but then what's the bakasha? So the basic bakasha in all the other tefillos is almost exactly, maybe it is exactly, the same as the bakasha in Malchios. Express your kingdom over the whole world through your kavod, and it leads into and it weaves in the combo of Malchios and Kedushas Eyal. Okay, and that's the way we end Malchios. Okay, I think it's exactly. I think it's verbatim. Okay, so the Kedushas Hayom itself is tied in with Malchios. So, what exactly did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mean when he says that we put Malchios in Kedushas Hayom, in Kedushas Hashem? What is he talking about? But not in Kedushas Hayom. The Kedushas Hayom has Malchios in it. Is he saying that he's each arguing over Chakras and Mincha Ma'ariv? I don't think so. It seems to be that's part of the Kedushas Hayom, is talking about Malach. And we are asking for God, the Kedushas Hayom, to be expressed. We put in Malach HaKal Arts. That's part of the Holy Yom, is the Malach Yom Malchios. So what exactly are we arguing about, factually? Where do you put Malchios? You put Malchios, the Bakasha of Malchios is definitely, the fourth Bakasha is the Bakasha of Malchios. So what then are we talking about when he's saying is, put Malchios in the third bracha? Right?
Pesukim?
So it would seem to be, you say the Pesukim, and maybe the lead-in, Alkei Nekava Lecha, whatever. Like the introductory, the Bakasha of Malchios is the fourth bracha, really. The question is the intro. The intro and the Pesukim, which are lead-ins to the Bakasha. Are those Pesukim and those that lead-in of Alkei Nekava Lecha, whatever, does that stuff go in the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, which is a bracha about Meloch, and right? Or does that go earlier? Is that shoved earlier to the Kedushas Hashem? Do you put in those psukim in the Kedushas Hashem in the third bracha? Right? But it would seem, again, it's a little funny, but it seems to be good fact gathering that if you're just looking at the thing, is that they're not really arguing about the third bracha. The fourth bracha is definitely the bakasha is Meloch. You're asking for Malchios. So the only question is where do you put in this whole lengthy, this Malchios, all the Pesukim, and the, right, and the intro? Is that shoved back into the third bracha, or is that in the fourth bracha? In Shachar Mincha Ma'ariv, it's not called Malchios, but it's the same Bakasha.
The same words?
Same words, exactly. I think. I didn't line it up, but for a quick scan over, if they're different, it's small differences. I think it's identical. Same words. So it's not called Malchios, it's called Kedushas Hayom. But the Kedushas Hayom actually is about the Malchios, which is interesting to think into why that is, but that is. Bottom line, it is. So therefore, when you're saying is, where do you put Malchios? Do you put it in the third bracha or in the fourth bracha? It's definitely, what does Biblical Rabbi say? The fourth bracha is Kedushas Hayom. Kedushas Hayom is Malchios. So what's he even saying? Well, you put Malchios in the third bracha and you put the Kedushas Hayom in the fourth bracha. Kedushas Hayom is Malchios. So he must be saying that we're not talking about the request of Malchios, we're talking about the intro, the lead-in, the psukim, which are elaborating upon Malchios, the Alkei Nekava Lecha, which is elaborating on the ideas of Malchios, the intro, the lead-in to the request. Is the lead-in to the request go in the fourth bracha, Malchios, or does that go in the third, shove back to the third bracha, to the Kedushas Hayom? The lengthy elaboration on Malchios, is that in the third bracha, where we're talking about Kedushas Hashem, God's sanctity, we talk into that, we elaborate on Malchios? Or do you say that the Malchios, the lengthy elaboration of Malchios, goes in the bracha about Malchios, and the Kedushas Hayom, which is actually about Malchios? Right? Which we have to give a svara for, but I'm saying it seems to be those are the facts. Although I didn't see anyone saying this, it just seems to be just looking closely at the thing. It seems so. That seems pretty important to this, to coming up with a svara here. Yeah, so if you hear that, then I think we should think about that till next week. I don't want to find my focus, assuming these facts. In fact, I'll prove you one thing. I want to show you one line of the Gemara, which I think is a little bit of a proof. The Gemara says, what was Rabbi Akiva's argument to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? He says, if you're not blowing shofar and malchios, why are you even mentioning malchios? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, why are you mentioning malchios? You have to mention malchios. You're not at malchios? So the Gemara explains, no, it means, ela lama eser, lema tesha, hold ishtani, ishtani. As if you yourself are putting malchios in Kedushas Hashem, and you're not blowing shofar and malchios, so why are you doing 10 psukim? You might as well do 9 psukim.
Why?
Not clear. Once it's different, it's different. Yeah. Once you're changing it, that you're not blowing, that's what Rashi says. Once you're changing malchios from zechronos and shofaros, that is, you're not blowing shofar in them, then you should also change it and make one less pasuk. Not clear why. That's something we have to explain. But his point is, he sees that he's talking about the psukim. He's saying, if you want to put malchios in the third bracha and knock out shofar from the thing, and you're not blowing shofar with it, then you might as well diminish the number of psukim also to 10, to 9, from 10 to 9. Doesn't make any, the question itself doesn't make any sense on the surface. I mean, what's one have to do with another? Right? Just see what's changing, so I'll change everything. What's the sense of that? But the point is, you see they're discussing about the psukim. It's not a proof, but I'm saying that's what they're talking about. Talking about the psukim. They also be talking about other stuff, but I'm saying they are talking about them second. So that would be nice if we could understand what that question is also. It's the question sounds so contrived. And it seems like he went along with it. And they say that that's it. He ended up agreeing with them. Someone I saw said that. Maybe the Rambam Pirush Lashon. Someone said that he agreed with them. His kasha was like a knockout. But it sounds like the weakest kasha in the world, right? Yeah. Okay.
So you got a long weekend to think about this.